to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. It's always an honor and a pleasure to come back with you and share the wonderful works of the Torah. As you all know, we've been doing a series on temple service and doing a series on all kinds of topics. And I pray that you've been edified and you've been helped in your spiritual walk. Now, in this series of teachings that we're going to do now, it's going to be talking about Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. What does it mean? Explaining why Yeshua, why did he have to die? One of the biggest things that is happening in the world right now is, especially in the Christian world, in the denominationalism. People believe Yeshua is the Messiah, but they can't prove, and they don't can't prove you biblically, the mechanics of our faith. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to resurrect from the dead? And why does he have to come back again? In the series of teachings, I'm going to be talking to you about the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of the pieces. And we are going to utilize the ancient Hebrew, the ancient Middle Eastern covenant making, the way they used to make covenants back in those days, and go through every step of an ancient covenant, connecting it with Abraham and also connecting it with Yeshua, how he's the fulfillment of those covenants. Now, the series of teachings is very, very important, and I would like for you, please, keep an open mind to understand that some of these concepts are all completely Hebraic. I'm not coming from a Christian perspective. I'm coming from a Hebraic perspective. Torah, utilizing some of the commentaries, utilizing some of the concepts to Midrash, so the methods of study. So that way, if something sounds a little strange to you, understand that we're not coming from a Greco-Roman denominationalism perspective. We're coming from a Hebraic Torah-observing perspective, okay? Now, we've been told that Yeshua is the Messiah. We know Yeshua is the Messiah. We know that Yeshua sits at the right hand of the Father. We know the Bible tells us that. But the question is, why some of the verses in the New Testament seem to create confusion in how to understand who Yeshua is, or the role of the Messiah in the fact of dying and burial and resurrection. All of us believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Messiah, but yet very few people have the evidence or have the tools to prove why he had to die, why he had to resurrect, and why does he have to come back. This is something that we're going to be addressing here in the series of teachings. This is very important to our faith, because ancient covenant, some of you know from watching different stations in which certain people, they say, we are covenant partners. We are covenant partners. Well, what does that really mean? Does it mean that you send a check and now you're automatically a covenant partners? Do you realize the word covenant is a very important word that is not, should not be used lightly? If you enter into a covenant with Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're covering into a covenant that if you break the covenant, there's death to that. So how do we don't pay the penalty? Because Yeshua pays the penalty. He paid the penalty on our behalf. And that's what we're going to be talking about. How come we don't die when we do something willful right now? And this is one of the principles that we're going to be talking about. I hope and pray you enjoy it. If you hear something that you don't quite, you know, get it, just stay with it. Continue the series, because we're going to make it a series. That way, in a half hour, there's no way I can cover this in a half hour. Let's go directly to the computer. That way we can start talking about the covenant of the pieces. The covenant of the pieces is an eternal, unconditional covenant of grace. Many people in the regular congregations, they talk about grace, 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 grace. But in fact, they don't explain to you that the word grace is found more times in the Old Testament than the New Testament. And you can see that in the evidence when you study Scripture. So, what is the unconditional covenant? See, Torah, the five books of Moses, was given on Mount Sinai. That is a conditional covenant. It's conditional because the people needed to obey the commandments when they accepted the covenant. But the one in Abraham, who walked through the pieces, we're going to talk about that. But when the angel walked through the pieces, in ancient covenants, you have to have the two parties walking through the pieces. But in this case, Abraham was sleeping. Only the angel of Yah walked through the pieces of the sacrifice. So we have to understand what that means. And why that is unconditional compared to the Torah given on Mount Sinai. So what Yeshua came to restore was Israel as a people again. Why? Because that unconditional covenant, he walked through the pieces when he encountered Abraham. And we're going to cover all this. But immediately we're going to go and talk about these verses. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1, says this. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was what? Justified by works. Notice that the context of the verse is justification. It's not sanctification. It's not reconciliation. It's justification. In other words, how are you able to be justified to come in the faith when you in fact never belong in the covenant in the first place? In other words, if you're a Gentile who never belonged in the covenant in the first place, okay, which we know in the Bible, you would never find a verse that says that Yahweh came into a covenant with a Gentile nation. Nowhere do you see that. Yahweh came in covenant with Abraham and its descendants, Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel. So if you are a Gentile and you call yourself a Gentile and you're not following the Torah and you're not following the commandments, then you're not in covenant with Yahweh. If you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, if you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, then you come into a covenant of marriage. Why? Because the Bible says that if you confess Yeshua with your mouth, you shall be saved, right? If you believe that if you confess with him that Yeshua is Mashiach, and that you believe that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The word confess there in the Greek is homologeo, and one of the definitions of that word is covenant. So in fact, you came into a covenant of marriage with him. Now what happens in a marriage when there's divorce? I'm sorry, what happens in a marriage when there's adultery? There's chaos, because the oath, the vows were broken. And it's very peculiar, usually women, when there's adultery, the women always remind the men, you made vows, you didn't follow your vows, you didn't believe in the vows. Well, the Torah is the vows of commitment to the covenant that we made in Mount Sinai. But you see, he knew that Abraham was never going to be good enough, or its descendants, to keep the end of the bargain. So in Genesis 15, what happens? There is an unconditional covenant that Yahweh walks through the pieces for his own great name and by his right hand's sake. In other words, when Abraham is sleeping, the covenant is with Abraham, but it means that if Abraham breaks the covenant or the descendants, it will be the person walking through the pieces who will take the penalty of death. And we're going to cover this later on, because we're going to go through every step of an ancient Middle Eastern covenant. So this is a journey, so I need you to stay with me, okay? Now, verse 2 of Romans chapter 4 says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before Elohim. Right? And then it says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed Elohim and was counted for him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Is making a distinction that this covenant that was signed, you know, that was done with Yahweh on Genesis 15, that covenant was unconditional. It had nothing to do with works. It has all to do with the love that Yahweh had for Abraham, that he was willing to walk through the pieces on behalf of Abraham, by himself, for his great namesake. And we're going to keep covering that as we go. Now, as we continue, it says, but to him who does not work, but believe on him who justifies the ungodly. See, the context of the chapter is justification. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim imputes righteousness apart from works. Okay? And it says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. But wait a minute, why will your lawless deeds be forgiven if you never came into covenant? Let me share this with you. The word repentance in Hebrew, teshuva, means that when you're walking in the wrong direction and you change your mind, you want to return to the point of reference. If there's not a verse in the Bible which says that any Gentile nation has ever been in covenant with Yahweh, then how can you repent? Repenting from something that you knew that you didn't do. So now you're repenting for taking advantage of that or for lying or whatever. But in this case, if the Gentiles have never been in covenant with Yahweh, surely there has to be a way that Yahweh will open the way for the Gentiles to come into the gospel. And the covenant with Abraham is that way. And I'm going to explain that also. So how can you repent? Because when the Hebrew word means teshuvah, it means return to the point of origin. To turn around and come back. Well, if you've never been in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then how can you return to something that you've never known before? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I hope you're following me. So what's interesting is this. I cannot be redeemed. I cannot redeem your wife. Some of you that are watching me, if I go to your house, I can't redeem your wife. I can't be reconciled to your wife. Why? Because we've never been in covenant. Only you, the husband, can be reconciled to your wife. And you can be redeem your wife because she belongs to you. Or a family member in the biblical times can redeem the family member, like Boaz and Ruth. Right? So therefore now, we have an understanding. We know that if you do not belong to the covenant, you have to convert. See, the system of religion has it backwards. They want to convert the Jew into Christianity, and they want to and the Christians want to repent. No, it's backwards. See, the Gentile needs to convert because that's not their way of lifestyle. That's not their covenant. That's not their culture. That's not their language. They're going to be transformed into a new creature, a new person, a different name, a new attitude, a new lifestyle. The Jew needs to return to the point of origin. The Israelite needs to return back home to the point of reference. They need to repent. They need to teshuvah. I hope that makes sense to you. This is a biblical terms. If we do not understand biblical terms, we're not going to understand what we're talking about. Okay. Let's go back to verse 8. Blessed is the man whom Yahweh shall not impute sin. Now, what's really peculiar about this verse, when you go to the Greek, you're going to notice that the word not there is ume. Ume means, in the Strong's, a double negative, strengthening the denial. Not at all, anymore, at all, by any means, neither, never, no. This is a very Hebraic way of teaching. So when you go back to verse 8, it should read like, blessed is the man to whom you shall never, ever, 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 ever impute sin. Why is that? Because of an unconditional covenant that Yeshua did for us. And that's what we're going to cover today. So when we go to the gospel, let's go back into Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. In Galatians 3, 8, it tells us specifically, and the scripture foreseeing that Elohim will justify the heathen. Now, you have to understand that he's saying that there will be a scripture that is foreseen that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall the nations be blessed. We got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. Because I was told that the gospel was preached in the New Testament. But Paul is telling me that the gospel was preached to Abraham. And the book of Hebrews tells me that the gospel was preached to Abraham. So how come we can't preach the gospel by using the Torah? How come we can't do that? Only. How come we only use the New Testament to do that? B'chadashah, the first century writings. See, here we have the evidence of the first century that is telling us that Paul was taught, that the Abraham was taught the gospel. Now, if you read that verse correctly again, it says, and the scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, so now he gives you the verse, Genesis 12:3. And he tells you, in you shall all the nations be blessed. In other words, he tells you which scripture it is that is talking about the heathen. A heathen is a person who doesn't fear Yahweh. An Israelite who departs from the ways of Yahweh, he can be considered a heathen. So understand that the context of Galatians, not necessarily to the pagan Gentiles, is to the Israelites that are scattered among the pagan Gentiles with the Gentiles. So it's trying to teach you that there's going to be a blessing, not only for the Israelite to come back, but also for the Gentile who wants to be part of the kingdom. Okay? Let's continue. Where do we get the answer? The answer is found in Genesis 12:3. In Genesis 12:3, you have to ask the question, are we grafted in? So when we go to the screen, you see what I mean. Are you grafted in? In Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. In you will all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, that's the verse that Paul was quoting in Galatians. Now, what's interesting is in the Hebrew, that latter part that is underlined, and in you will all the families of the earth will be blessed. In Hebrew, it reads a little different. It says, Vinefrechu, beginning in the bottom, because when I put it on the PowerPoint, it kind of changed the order. But beginning in the bottom, the bigger letters in the Hebrew, says, Vinefrechu vechakol. Let's go to the top from right to left. He says in Hebrew, the word vinevrechu is transliterated for your benefit. Vinevrechu, that word right there in the Hebrew, its root word has a agriculture connotation. So the verse should read this way. In you will all the families of the earth be grafted in. So Paul is using Galatians chapter 3:8 to teach the audience of Galatians, who are the dispersed of Israel, that they have the right to come back and be grafted in through faith and be justified to come back again because of the work of Messiah. And he's quoting on Abraham. That's what we're going to be talking about. I hope this is making sense to you because I'm having a good time teaching you this. We're going to cover a lot of ground, okay? But here we see that in the Hebrew, it reads a little bit different than it does in the English, okay? In some Bibles, because if you go to a regular Bible program, okay, Christian Bible program, it will have the word barach. But here it has vinevrechu. You got to go to the text, the Hebrew text together, okay? Now, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So now we have the evidence that the gospel was taught to them, you know, in the time of Abraham. The story of Abraham is about ancient covenant making between the word of Yahweh and Abraham. Now this is very significant because now we're going to try to find out who were the people in that covenant. This is what I'm going to do. So you understand the whole premise of the teaching that I'm doing. I'm trying to establish that we can only be justified to be in the kingdom by faith through Yeshua. Why is that? We're going to talk about it, okay? Then I'm going to show you in the next program, I'm going to show you who were the people present. Who was the person that walked through the pieces? Was it the Father or was it the messenger, the special messenger that is the word of the Lord, the Memra? And that's what, then after that, we're going to go and begin to do the nine steps of ancient covenant, connecting it with Abraham and connecting it with Yeshua and how he fulfilled it. The covenant with Abraham as an unconditional covenant covers slew of great benefits for Israel. Because in ancient covenants, you have to have two parties to walk through the pieces. You have to make an oath. You have to exchange the sword, you have to exchange the shield, you have to exchange the garments, you have to exchange, you know, names, you have to have a scar, mix the blood, you have to make an oath. And then the last step was, you raise your right arm, and you say, whatever happened to those animals, you take animals, you break them in two, put them on the ground, and you walk through the pieces. Both parties have to. This is the ancient Hebrew and ancient Middle Eastern type covenants, and if you understand this, the whole Bible will make perfect sense to you. So, once you walk through the pieces and you come to the agreement and you go through all the steps of an ancient covenant, then you say, if anybody breaks this covenant, may what happened to those animals happen to you. In other words, that if you come into a covenant and somebody says, I am your covenant partner, and then you have a need in your life, and they don't supply for your need, then they're not keeping the end of the bargain. Because a covenant, ancient covenant, was supposed to be such that if I come into a covenant with you, that meant that if your family member dies, or if you will die, that I will take care of your family members. I will take care of your family and your kids and your wife forever. I will provide for their needs, and I will treat them as if they are my family. But if you break the covenant, or I broke the covenant, we die. Somebody has to die because it's a covenant. And covenant making back in those days was a heavy, heavy duty commitment. So we come into covenant with Yeshua by grace through faith, and then we refuse to obey the conditions of the covenant. It's like me being invited to your house, and you ask me to come in by grace. You give me a place of honor in your home. You put me in your will, in your testament. Then I choose not to obey any of the commandments that you establish in your house. When I never belong in your house, I was a guest. By grace, you ask me to stay. By obedience, keeps me in the blessing. But if I willfully disobey the commandments that you establish, you're going to throw me out of my blessing. So grace allows you in the door. Obedience keeps you in the blessing. And this is the whole bottom line why we're doing this. As we go through this study, you're going to find out an incredible amount of language in the Brit Hadashah, in the first century apostolic writings, that lines up exactly with covenant making. The language, it has all to do with ancient covenants. And once you understand ancient covenants, you'll be able to decipher all of that information and you'll be able to pinpoint the differences and here and there. Okay? Now, in the Bible tells us that therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Yeshua the Messiah. I think it's Romans chapter 8. So let me go there real quick to verify that I'm on the correct spot. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Yeshua the Messiah, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what's interesting, if you read the previous chapter, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, all the way through, he's trying to let you know the differences between the sin and the differences between what is called in Hebrew the Yatzer Hara, Yatzer Hatov, the evil inclinations and the good inclination. Okay? Now, how is it that Yeshua restores the back of the covenant? He does it by covering on chapter 7, verse 1, the laws of marriage. The 10 tribes of Israel, they decided not to obey Yahweh anymore. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8, Yahweh gives the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, a bill of divorce. They go ahead and they move amongst the nations and they get lost amongst the heathen. Now there, one of the signs of the Messiah is that he will come and regather his kingdom. The disciples knew this in Acts chapter 2, verse 6. It says, are you going to restore the kingdom to us again? But what happened? He says, not the time for you. It's not the time of the hour. Okay, so now what happens is this. That Paul is trying to teach you how the 10 tribes of Israel can come back into the covenant. How do you do it? Let's read. It says, oh, did you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. He's giving you references to Deuteronomy 24. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. This is a direct quote from Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 to 4. So if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. In other words, in the Bible tells you that if you have a wife, you divorce her, she goes out, marries another man, and the second husband doesn't want her, right? Because there's some uncleanliness in her. So therefore, if the husband, the second husband, gives her a bill of divorce, or he dies, the first husband, even if he loves her and wants to take her back, he can't do it. So this explains this opens a huge quandary, because in Jeremiah 3:1 tells you that Yahweh wants his bride back. He can't. He gave her a bill of divorce, and she accepted by worshiping the gods of the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Greeks. So therefore, now how can Yeshua bring the gospel to the Gentiles? How can Yeshua bring the gospel to the Gentiles when in fact his house is out of order? By dying and resurrecting. And that's what chapter 7, verse 4 Romans tells you. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Messiah, that you may be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to Elohim. In other words, he's telling you that when Yeshua died, he took the penalty of adultery upon himself, honoring the ancient covenant in Genesis 15, because Abraham was sleeping and he didn't walk through the pieces. If Abraham would have walked through the pieces in conjunction with a column of fire, that means that when the descendants of Israel worship other gods and moved away from the covenant, they would have been completely out of the covenant. But because God made the covenant with Abraham as an everlasting covenant, not with Abraham alone, but with his seed forever, then he has to restore the 10 tribes of Israel back into the covenant because he promised Abraham he would. But not only the 10 tribes can enter and are justified to come back, but also anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Because Abraham was not a Jew, and Abraham was not an Israelite. Abraham was a Hebrew. So therefore, if you're not a Jew, and if you're not an Israelite, but you are a Gentile who refuses to follow the way of the heathen, and you want to graft yourself into the tree, Israel, and the root, Messiah, then you graft yourself into the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and you become one tree in him. Therefore now, you obey the commandments of Yahweh, and you are no longer a Gentile. And that's exactly what Ephesians 2 is trying to tell you, that we are now part of the commonwealth of Israel, that we are citizens with the saints. We are no longer, there's no longer a man or woman, slave or You know, man or woman, you know, Jew or Greek. That's why he's trying to tell you that in Yeshua we are all one. We are Echad in Messiah. But you have to keep the laws of the covenant. You cannot do whatever you think you want to do after you've been accepted into a covenant that you did not belong in by grace through faith. I hope this is making sense to you. It's a big mouthful that I just had there. And we don't really have a lot of time to cover a lot more on this episode, but we will come back. We're going to continue in a series of studies explaining ancient covenants, but this is the introduction. So we're going to find out why Yeshua had to die to take the penalty of death. But why did he take the penalty of death from her when she willingly, rebelliously left the covenant? Judah did not leave the covenant, even though they need reconciliation. But the 10 tribes of Israel did leave the covenant. And in the next program, we're going to talk about who were the players on that ancient covenant. Remember, Yahweh's truth is Torah's truth. And all you need to do is go verify all the information we have. How come we are no longer, like it says in Romans, now therefore, brother, therefore there's no more condemnation. Why? Because Yeshua came to take the penalty of eternal death away from us. The penalty that will cause by breaking the covenant that he made with Abraham. And we'll explain more in the next time. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you. We're going to come back. We're going to have a good time. We have a lot of information. And we'll see you soon. Okay? Shalom Aleichem. Bye-bye. Hello, thank you for joining me, and it's a pleasure to be a teacher here at GLC, and I personally want to thank Al and Tommy Cooper for the opportunity to give us a chance to teach Torah and to bring the Hebrew roots into your homes. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, www.wisdomintorah.com, or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Also, some of the other information will be there for you to enjoy, and PowerPoints and other things further for you. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And remember, everything that I teach, everything that I share with you is in my heart so we can grow together, so we can learn together, so we can become spiritually mature for the coming of our Messiah. All I ask is that when you read something that I say, go back and verify everything I said. Do not believe anything that I said. Owe it to yourselves to only praise Him, to give Him the honor and the glory, because we are all servants of the Most High Elohim, Yahweh Tzevaot. Yahweh bless you and keep you.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel.